When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and welcome to You Love to See It, the podcast where we watch TV shows and movies and music videos and whatever we want, because it's our podcast and you can't tell us what to do, and then we tell you all about them. I am your host, Fernanda No Te Entiendo Prates, and I am joined, I love how I said my own last name with a little bit of a Spanish.
I love that. Yeah, that was way more Spanish than Portuguese, I feel like.
Went in with the No Te Entiendo. It's also my brief homage to our producer, Paul. I'm joined by my lovely co-hosts, Danielle. I don't understand your hair, Riondu. Hi, Danielle.
Hello, how are you?
Doing good. Excited for today's show. And also we have the long-awaited return of another beloved former host of You Love to See It, Merritt Jetski Chase K. Hi, Merritt.
Hi, it's good to be back.
Good to have you, and I feel like you chose a very good nickname as well, because honestly, who doesn't want a jet ski chase? I feel like if I'm ever escaping the authorities for any reason, I would like it to be on a jet ski.
Is there, like, okay, in the hierarchy of chases that you can have, like, car chase is maybe the most basic at this point. We've all seen it done a million times.
A little cliche.
Actually, like an interesting chase connection with our next episode that we're going to do with William Friedkin, but car chase, fine. Bike chase, I mean, motorcycle chase is kind of cool, I guess. Helicopter chase?
That's, I don't know. A lot of resources. Like, very expensive.
Jet ski chase, though. Jet ski chase. Yeah. Like, so much like fun, right?
The optimal, right? Because, like, even with car chases, the risk for collateral damage is so much, too. Like, that's, I mean,
that's
what
part
I'm
of the fun of a chase.
Yeah, but like you can be like just killing innocent people, and with jet skis, I feel like that's
but they're
reduced.
Not main characters, and they don't have names, so
true.
That's okay. But yeah, no, on a jet ski, and on a jet ski though, the thing is, like, you're not really, you're just kind of, it's whatever can go faster, because you're just kind of going fast, and trying to escape from a guy who kind of looks like Columbo.
Yes.
While we're on that, in case you haven't realized yet, our dear listeners, today we are talking about the video for Honey, Mariah Carey's Honey. Actually, the I don't even know, the regular song video, because there
the
is a remix
video.
And the video is slightly different. The remix with Diddy, which was supposed, by the way, to have Biggie, but that's another
thing
we're talking about. Yeah, like, so here's the thing. There was a little bit of beef because in one of his songs, he, like, cracked a joke about, like, having sex with an R&B singer or something. I don't remember exactly. And then, but they talked it over, Mariah and Biggie, and had a nice phone call and discussed having him on the remix. But he unfortunately died before getting to do it, so...
Aww.
That's the sad story. But yeah, so we're doing the regular video. I picked it. This is my pick. That's why I'm your host today, because I felt like this one had more of a little tighter little narrative. But before we get to all of it, let's do our first scene, which is when all of us discuss our relationship, our history with the whatever audiovisual product we've chosen for that week. But for today, I want to change it up a little bit. I'll ask you both your history with the video itself, but also your history with Mariah, because I need to know if we can still be friends. So I'll start with Danielle. Danielle, what is your What is your history with Honey?
Yeah. Well, I've always loved this song, and I've always been a big Mariah Carey fan. I will say that. Like, I was young in this era, of course. We've picked a lot of things where we were fairly young, so on and so forth. But, like, Mariah Carey, like, her albums in the early and mid-90s were very much in, you could say, heavy rotation in a young Danielle's, first CD player.
So, oh, that's amazing. I wouldn't have guessed it.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's very, like, I know. They're just so, God, she just has such a fucking beautiful voice. And I know she can hit those whistle tones, and I know she can do all this stuff. I was also a tremendous Whitney Houston fan, and I had an ex where we would, like, judge people's personalities based on where you fell on. Listen, this is going to be tough right now, but Prince/Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston/Mariah Carey. And
okay, well.
I know.
Back then, it was different times.
Listen, this is a different time. but I was Whitney, but I also loved Mariah. So that's what I told everybody. Okay. And I love Prince, and Michael Jackson can go to hell. So that was, like, where I fell on the spectrum. But I was always like, it was a hard choice. You know what I mean? Between Whitney and Mariah. And also a completely false choice. It's not like you have to like one and not like the other. So, yes. Although I have no history with this particular video. I love Mariah Carey. Love her music. Think she's great. I just love her fucking songs. I love her voice. But I've never seen this video before. Ever. Before this week. Like, I kind of can't believe it, because I love music videos. I love Mariah Carey. But somehow, unless I, like, somehow, maybe I, like, saw it in passing or something, but I've never, like, sat down to watch it. So this is very special for me.
I haven't seen it before either. We'll get to it in a bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I've seen it recently during my Mariah awakening. But first, Merit, what is your history with the whole thing?
Yeah. So I think, there was definitely a lot of Mariah Carey in my life growing up. My mom, like, I didn't really have that many CDs when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I mostly got into, like, emo and punk when I was in my teens.
Yeah,
I think
relatable.
Pre 97 Mariah was solidly in my mind as, like, mom music.
Oh, wow.
Because, well, that's not okay. Now I look at it and I'm like, it's good, but, like, at the time it was like it. This is, like, adult contemporary. This is, like, for old people.
Yeah.
And
I'm
this
so upset
really
right now.
Well, this is the turning point, though.
Yeah.
this video, this song, this album is the turning point where, she left her old recording company, I think, and basically was, like, rebranding. And
yeah, it's when she was divorcing Tommy Mottola.
And she was also divorcing him. And this video is, like, fraught with so much symbolism that she denies, but everyone else is just like, are you sure? Because are you sure? And so this is sort of the moment that I think she really came on my radar in the late 90s and 2000s, because this video to me is so of a moment. It's so of a Y2K. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not quite at the peak Y2K of fisheye lenses and, like, metallic silver everywhere, but you get a bit of it. You get, like, peaks at that. Like, you get porthole shots, you get these, like, you know, wide angle shots of these big mansions. And so it's like you're getting a little bit there. Like, hip hop is sort of, like, becoming more mainstream. It's, like, getting more airplay on, like, mainstream radio stations, and it's, people are incorporating it into their style. And, so this to me is always very evocative of that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's basically why I chose this video. I read recently what is now my Bible, The Meaning of Mariah Carey, and she talks about Honey as the moment that, like Merit said, was kind of like her breakthrough, because before, everything, even her aesthetics, everything else was very controlled by Tommy.
Yeah.
And she, at this point, it's when she was getting, like, she was still married to him, but she was getting a divorce, and, like, her marriage to Tommy Mottola was horrible. She was super controlled. She called her their huge, amazing, lavish mansion, Sing Sing. So that should tell you something about how she felt being there. And she talks about this video as sort of when she actually got to pick, you know, everything, her outfits. She got to be sexy. She got to dance. The remixes were something she even alludes to it in the book a lot. Like, she always wanted to infuse, like, put hip hop influences and R&B influences, but Tommy didn't want to market her as that. He called it too, quote unquote, urban, which we all know what it means.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's a whole thing with Mariah, like how she was being like mixed race was such a big part of her life and something that wasn't necessarily as marketed early in her career. But my history with it, yes, like I hadn't seen the video growing up. I too, like Merritt, like associated Mariah for a long time to mom music. Not my mom, because my mom, she didn't like what she called the shouty ladies. Like, she
never liked, the
Divas. But it was very much that for me for a long time. And then like later I started like really listening back, and I don't know, I grew like such an appreciation for Mariah. Like, first of all, she writes her own stuff, like a bunch of things that I didn't know. Like, to me, she was like this very pretty lady with this gorgeous voice that was just very much the classic, just like window dressing person. And then I was like, she wrote her own things. Like, she had all these influences. She's very savvy and smart about her music and everything else. So I will stop preaching the gospel of Mariah.
You should preach it.
But that's why I picked this particular video and from Mariah, because I think it's just so gorgeous, and I feel like it ties into our last week because we also had a sort of Bond themed thing going on, though albeit very different, very different vibes. And this is kind of it, like the whole video, the story is Mariah. She's Agent M, and she's on a mission, and the mission is called Honey. And she's captured by a counterintelligence agency. And she speaks Spanish to the dude with the weird hair. So he doesn't, so he thinks she can communicate with him, which is relatable, which is something I may or may not have done in the past. I'll just fake not speaking your language to get away from this situation. Very smart. We know she's a smart agent. And she has all those really like little funny sort of slapstick interactions. But she manages to escape them while wearing very high heels. So good on her. And she jumps on a pool. And
it's an iconic like Bond. It's such a like moment, like iconic Bond girl moment, but it's also she's Bond here and Bond girl, which is very beautiful. Like, she embodies both sides of the Bond and Bond girl equation in this video. Yeah. So, it's beautiful.
Yeah, like that shot of her diving.
Yeah.
Like, Goldeneye had come out 2 years earlier. And isn't there a part in that movie when he like dives off the
Yeah, he dives off the dam.
Right, yeah. Like right at the beginning. Yeah. Because he's escaping a base and then he dives off. She didn't actually do that, but she did dive into the pool, and she did like apparently it was like really grueling shoot to make this.
Yeah.
Also, the thugs are played by the Jerky Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In case you didn't spot them and their iconic brand of whatever it is that they do.
Wow. I didn't know what the Jerky Boys were, honestly. Like,
I
know.
A crank call group, I guess. Like, yeah. Crank call comedy from like the 80s and 90s. Yeah, very weird. Very weird. This whole scene is very weird. Can I just say that? Because, like, it is. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm, you know, like, you're watching this scene, and if this is in like any contemporary movie or like, you know, even in any 80s movie or like 90s movie, the threat is different, right? Like, you know, if Bond is there, the threat is just like, we're going to shoot you in the head. Or maybe that one time, what's his name, is going to whip a rope around and like, and smash your zone into a thin paste. But yeah. it's like there's always that, like, it's like, oh, I don't love, but they manage like not to do that really. Like, none of these guys, they're all just like, I'm gonna kill you. Like, they're like cartoon villains, which is like kind of fun, I guess, because it's kind of like fantastical, like this fantasy where like there is no looming threat of sexual assault.
Right.
Which is like, thanks, good. I'm so glad. You don't actually have to do that.
Yeah. And it's all like through that really, the filter, like it's all sepia for some reason. God,
of course it is.
It's like VHS sepia. Like, it's very like, it almost feels like, okay, this is like a Saturday afternoon movie kind of thing going on. Like, there, it's like, all right, it's like a lazy Saturday or Sunday afternoon. This is on your TV and you're watching it because you can't not watch it because it's like a goofy James Bond movie or something, but starring Mariah Carey. I dig that.
Also, I love that when she breaks out of the cuffs and like knocks the one guy on his ass, the other guy, instead of immediately chasing after her, goes to make sure that his friend is okay. Yeah.
It's because dudes rock at the end of the day. That's the lesson. I like it. Priorities, right? And it's all very low stakes. And we find how low stakes it is at the end. Because spoiler, it's all like to frolic on the beach with a guy.
That's the mission. And a dog.
And the dog.
That's her actual dog.
Oh, that's her dog. I didn't know.
The dog's probably...
Dead.
Yeah, well, let's not do that math. It's probably a little depressing. But I love that is like the mission. And it's all for... This was all in her Derek Jeter phase.
Oh my God, I forgot about this.
Yeah, so the whole thing is, this was shot in Puerto Rico. She, a little bit before that, had like escaped. Because like, she and Tommy were getting separated, but they had like, they were still going to counseling and they had all these arrangements to make. And she'd had this like one romantic night on a roof with Derek Jeter. And there's a song based on that called The Roof. And then she wrote My All for Derek Jeter too. Because she escaped. There's like Butterflies basically motivated by Derek Jeter, which is hilarious. Their relationship was actually very short, like, but she, like, it didn't, they found out they weren't like meant to be, but she talks about how he inspired her to sort of move on, and like, he was important to like sort of break free from Tommy. But Honey is also, he's also got some nods to Derek Jeter, and she at one point had like escaped for a weekend, like told Tommy that she needed to get away and go to Puerto Rico. And like, she went with her assistant, and but he was there. So she was there to meet him, and they spent a sensual night embraced in one long kiss. But she says they didn't have sex until she was actually divorced. So there's
that. Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's true, but she...
I love that she read that. Like, there's just something about that that is so like Catholic.
It is. And she writes it like, there would have been nothing wrong with like somebody else probably would have done it, you know, because everything was very sensual, but like, to me it didn't feel right, and I wanted to wait for the right moment or whatever. But to me, just hilarious to think about all of this being related to Derek Jeter for some reason.
It really is. Like, did anyone ever substantiate the rumor that he had like gift bags for the ladies that he slept with?
That's my favorite rumor
of all time. Like, about anything. That is my favorite rumor of all time, that he had like a gift bag. Again, I don't know if this is true, but I love it so much as a story, that he would have like a gift bag to be like a lady of Derek Jeter. He would have like a signed baseball and like a t-shirt or something.
I wouldn't mind it. Like, honestly, like, I wouldn't mind like having a souvenir for my terrible like affairs, honestly. Like, leave me with... There was this one guy I dated who was just a shit bag. Like, he was awful. He made my life hell for like years. And then he started working for Under Armour. And then he gave me like a bag full of Under Armour swag that probably added up to a lot of money. And I was like, does it make up for it? But you know what?
But hey, you know, I will take my gift bag. Apparently there's a whole story about this.
That Paul just posted on the chat. Jeter gives autograph swag to one night stands. That's amazing. He did leave Mariah with a teddy bear at one point after their week of teddy bear and like a shirt or something.
Did he autograph it?
Probably. Imagine it being Mariah Carey like leaving like Derek Jeter's plane or whatever with like a signed baseball. I love that image.
It's just so fucking funny. Yeah.
I will, if you don't mind, we'll read just the little excerpt on her book when she talks about Honey. She writes, "Honey was the first time I felt I had full creative license in making a video. We were making a mini comedy action thriller, and it was possible thanks to I'm not even kidding, an insane $2 million budget."
Oh my fucking God.
That is a lot of money for a video. The video allowed me to really explore my kitschy humor with Frank Severo as the gangster character with the crazy hair. I also included Johnny Brennan from the Jerky Boys, Honey Pie, Sweetie Pie, Cutie Pants. I lived for the Jerky Boys. They were so silly. Come on. I wasn't trying to ridicule Tommy addressing Merritt, because it really was a theory that this was all kind of like a metaphor for her relationship with Tommy. I was just playing with cinematic stereotypes, juxtaposing Johnny's character with Eddie Griffin's. My Spanish line, "Lo siento, pero no te entiendo," was delivered with a wink.
And I mean, like, I think also it's worth pointing out that this kind of reading of not just videos of like any kind of work is always applied more to women than to men. Like this kind of like need to find an autobiographical truth within it, as if to say like a woman can't just make up fiction. It's always based on some secret they have. Whereas like, yeah, people do that with male celebs now too, to some extent, but like it's always been more of like, oh, this is actually about her relationship or whatever. It's not just her having fun. And it's like, okay, well, it could be both, but like, just something
she's
to
allowed
be aware
to have
of.
Fun.
I absolutely hear. Like, even that part like needs to be in relation with the guy in her life. Like, it can't even just exist in her own brain. But at the same time, you can understand where the influence.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, this video is just like it's literally about escaping from a bad situation and ending up in another. And whether that is about her personal life or her brand at the time, which she was in the process of changing, or her creative control over her work, it could be a lot of things, right? And there is that really great shot, the most like literal shot in this. It's like almost over the top when she dives into the pool and then takes her gown off and then comes out of the pool. That became like one of the most iconic images in this whole video, but it's like very literal, like transformation. Like she goes from like gown to like kind of like a Diana Rigg. Avengers kind of cat suit.
Sure.
You know, like from the 60s Avengers, the UK one. No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because she's doing the Bond thing here. She's becoming the Bond.
Yeah. She's becoming a 60s Bond girl, and like she's got the hair up, she's got the cat suit. And so it's calling on those kinds of aesthetics. Even the jet ski chase that comes after, the way that it's shot looks to me like 60s or 70s footage. Because of the filter and the graininess of it.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. And she actually says that what I did in the Honey video was what I always wanted to do. I got to explore creative and fashion influences without label restrictions. My look was inspired by Ursula Andress in the 70s 007 movies. Yes. I wanted to look glamorous, dangerous, and badass like a Bond girl. And you succeeded, Mariah. Yes. You succeeded. You pulled it off. and I finally had the freedom to access the right creative team to achieve the looks. Emerging out of the swimming pool in the beige bombshell bikini, that was me. I was also finally able to work with a young, hot black director, Paul Hunter, who got all my jokes and James Bond references, but who also made sure the video had a contemporary and stylish look, which it was contemporary for the time, I'm guessing.
Right.
Like 97, it's been a while. But yeah, that was absolutely just the whole the whole reference. And at one point she does say, the whole message in the Honey video was that I was breaking free, although no one understood the insanity, toxicity, and abuse I was living inside. They had no clue. Mm-hmm. So basically confirming.
Yeah.
What is very, and even the whole butterfly thing ends up being very literal, because it's part of the Butterfly album, and she's like removing clothes and coming out in this bikini. Like, the imagery is also quite literal, and it was basically like she was having fun, which
she's becoming herself, like, yeah, becoming her damn self, as opposed to being a controlled, I don't know, this is, I mean, I guess it could just kind of hits different in the era of knowing about what was happening to Britney only mm-hmm. a couple of years later, mm-hmm. like only like a year or two later even than this. So it's all a lot. It's a lot, like how much it's just becoming very obvious how much pop stars, especially women pop stars, were just like a product to be consumed and treated like that by the mm-hmm. powerful dudes in their lives. So this video itself, the fact that it's her own creative expression is like very... It's very refreshing. It's refreshing, and I'm glad yeah. she got to do this, you know?
And it's, like, so weird to even think about, right? Because, like, for instance, I grew up with this, like, Mariah, this image of this person who's gorgeous and incredibly talented and obscenely rich, and, like, what could possibly not be amazing in this, like... Not to cite Britney Spears as lucky.
Oh, I was thinking the same fucking thing. I was saying the lines in my head, Fernanda. Like, I was just like, oh, it's too corny. I can't say this. And I'm so glad we're on the same wavelength. Like, 100%. I will say it. I was just like, she's so lucky. She's a star.
You're right. She cries in her lonely heart.
In her lonely heart.
She was. And that's the whole thing, right? I was listening to this other podcast that I really loved called You're Wrong About. And they talk about, they have a line, like, fame is abuse. And I think in many ways, yeah. like, it is. And this is another one of the cases. But, like, in the case of Mariah, like, at her peak, this is a woman who is conquering the world, like, making all this money and being acknowledged, you know, as the voice of a freaking generation. And she is completely freaking miserable. And she has yeah. no freedom and can't do anything and can't go out and is incredibly lonely. And you're like, and this is such a recurring theme.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm like, you know what? We're all just, like, fucking miserable.
It's true. We should all have our $2 million music video opportunity. Right?
To, like, express this.
Yeah. I also just love, like, okay, there is another shot that I really love. I love her, like, backup dancers on the boat deal. That's very good. But during that mm-hmm. sequence, we do the actual James Bond, like, barrel of a gun thing. It's, like, a different color and all sorts of stuff, but you just keep going through the barrel, and it's very much like, here she is. It's 00M or whatever that she wants to be. Agent 00M. Agent M, yeah.
Oh, yeah, is it 00M at 1.2?
It might be.
Agent Oom?
Agent
Yeah,
Oom.
Like, we haven't really talked about that, but, like, the text appearing on screen.
She's Agent M.
That okay, was, like, yeah. a big thing in yeah. this. I feel like I've seen a bunch of videos, and I can't remember them off the top of my head, but just, like, or, okay, no, actually one that does come to mind is the Without Me video.
Yes.
By
oh,
Eminem.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
which right. was, I think, a couple years. Yeah, it was 2002, so it was, like, a few years later. But, like, this trend of, like, this sort of subtitles, like, as if it's a mm-hmm. comic or something.
Yeah.
Like, meanwhile, yeah. like, the race, the chase is on. Just, like, things like that. It was yeah. very, like, yeah, very specific really kind of good. Style.
I was trying to remember as we were talking, the You're Wrong About episode on, they had, like, a series on Princess Diana, and they make the same, like, lucky reference. And I'm like, because I'm just, how many famous, amazing, gorgeous women in history are actually Britney Spears' is lucky? That's something right? for us to think about.
I mean, it's universal. It stands the test of thought. Time.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, there's a literary lettering right at the top when she's like Agent M and she's escaping. And honestly, I like it. I like having things explained very clearly to me. In very obvious ways. So as not to have to think too much. You already have to think so much in life. But yeah, so she escapes in jet ski and she's dancing with sailor guys in a little boat.
Her like hot sailor boys. I just love this. This is the, you know, this is the inversion of the Bond thing. Like she gets to be really hot and have a lot of little hotties like kind of dancing with her. And it's very nice. Mm-hmm. It's and then the Hardy boys come and like, they're jerky looking boys. For her. Sorry. Jesus Christ. What am I doing in my life? Oh my God.
The Hardy okay. boys. Just like, we gotta, the Hardy we, boys. We gotta find, we gotta yeah. find her.
Hank and Dean Venture.
We gotta find Mariah. Jeez. Yeah, Jeep Willikers.
They come over and they're looking for her and they like look under the dude's hats. Like they're just like fucking, it's goofy.
Is she under here?
The kitschy humor, the aforementioned kitschy humor rears its head. Again, maybe then it was something funnier. I don't know. I was just like, oh, I like her bikini. Like that's most of my takeaway from that whole scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, they find her. They come looking for her, but she eventually succeeds in her mission to escape. I love that. Like in my notes, I'm looking at my notes and it's like sexy pool scene, sexy changing scene, sexy chase and jet ski scene, sexy dancing with sailors.
Yep.
That's basically she was also finding her sexuality. That's beautiful, Mariah. You yeah. are a butterfly. Do you? You're
her sexuality is like hot guy in white pants on a beach with dog. Like, and that's good. Good for you, honestly. Live life.
I will say this, though. I don't think the guy's hotness really measures up to hers.
Yeah. But then again, that's almost impossible. Like, we're talking goddess level, and that dude's definitely a model or something.
But, like, very, like, average looking. Like, I don't even... I forgot his face already. Like, if I saw him in something else. I may have seen him in several things, and I wouldn't know.
He's a model. He was, I don't know, on some TV show, I think. Yeah. I forget.
He's cute. He's cute. Like, I get it.
Fine. You know? Not going to sit here and pretend like I'm above that guy. But, like, you know, I feel like Mariah could do better. Well, she was coming off of marriage to Tommy Mottola. So there was that.
Yeah. She just wanted something different. That's all. That's all it was. Yeah. You know, and that's fair. She's allowed.
They frolicked at the beach, which, yeah. again, it's probably the lowest stakes mission ever. But she was also very hot for Derek Jeter. So it makes sense. Like to her, it felt like the most important thing she could do at that moment.
Yeah, the personal stakes were high, we could say, with that, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, if you have an excuse to run away in the superior runaway vehicle like we've established, which is the jet ski, do it. Why not?
Yeah, go for it.
Dreams.
Sorry, go ahead, Merritt.
This is only tangentially related to the video, but am I the only person in the world who thinks that Walter Afanasieff and Joe Pantoliano look the same?
I could see it. I could see it.
I mean, maybe it's easy just because they're both bald and have mustaches, but yeah, like, they just, whenever I see the picture of Walter Afanasieff on the wiki page, I'm just like, is that Joey Pants?
Who is he? I don't know.
Walter?
Yeah.
Baby Love? He's a producer. Oh. He worked with Mariah on her first six albums.
Oh, I'm looking at his face now. Yeah. Okay, and who do we think he looks like?
Joe Pantoliano.
Okay.
From The Matrix?
He's in The Matrix. Everybody's talking about The Matrix lately. That's the only reason I'm like, it's easy. It's right there.
I can see it.
This is Joe very important. More. Very important. Very important.
I mean, unfortunately for our listeners, you just have to do your own research. But I can see it. But I think Joe Pantoliano, I don't even know age-wise, he looks more youthful. Mm. I don't know if he's younger, but I would argue he looks more youthful. That would be the difference.
I'm glad we settled that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important. I like that we... Oh, and Walter is a Brazilian-American musician. That I didn't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of Russian descent.
That's quite a mix. Walter. Yeah. My guy, I should have known. And he apparently wrote for Savage Garden, too.
Oh, no, he's been everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
My guy has just been in the game since the 80s and just has been like all over the place. Yeah, like Andre Bocelli, Lionel Richie, Michael Bolton. God.
This is like number one after number one after number one. Oh, yeah, no,
he's a hitmaker.
Yeah.
He's like, if you go to his discography like tab on Wiki, all it does is say main article, Walter Fonda's discography. Like, it just links you to a separate page because it's too long.
I am actually happy that I have like a little homework after we're done recording. I'm just going to like dive into this discography. Mm-hmm.
My dude is also Brazilian, which is cool.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I was like, we've come.
Okay, wait. Yeah. Can we talk about the fucking year? I know we're getting a little bit off track. I just want to talk about the fucking year that he had. Like that he, this like some of the tracks that he did. He produced and arranged the original score for Disney's Hercules.
Oh my God.
He did Butterfly. He produced and arranged Butterfly and did keyboards on Butterfly. He did Higher Ground for Barbara Streisand.
Oh my God.
He did Let's Talk About Love by Celine Dion. Just God. God.
Oh my God.
Incredible.
What year was that?
That was 97.
The same year. 97 Butterfly came out in 97.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he also, I'm looking at his page. Yeah, that's a lot of success. I feel bad about existing as a human at the same time as this person now. Walter,
I'm sure he wouldn't want you to feel bad.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's like a better person than that. Yeah. Sorry. I'm just looking at his page and just feeling overwhelmed because it's a lot of success. Mm-hmm. And Brazilian, which just proves that Brazilians are very cool. I think that's the conclusion we inevitably have to come to after this episode. Mm-hmm. In regards to Honey and Mariah specifically, do we have any closing arguments, any final notes on the video?
I just love her and I love this future for her. That's all.
In conclusion, Honey is a land of contrasts.
I love that this translates to all languages because, like, it also works, like, if you translate it to Portuguese into Brazilian culture. So I love it. So I guess that's it for today's episode. We can all agree Mariah is a goddess and amazing. I'm glad I can still be friends with both Danielle and Merritt. LB wasn't here today, but I'm sure I can still be friends with LB too because LB is cool. And I'm sure they also love Mariah as much as we do. Next week, we are watching. I'm not telling you what we're watching because it's a mystery. We're just like doing a fun little music video month and you don't know what we're watching. I can assure you it will be awesome because we picked it and we're great. Thank you all. I hope you enjoyed your journey with us. Before you go, be sure to rate and review our podcast if you love us. And yeah, I know you do because you're here this entire time. Tell a friend, that helps too. Listen to all of our stuff at fanbyte.com/podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Fanbyte Media. You can also follow us individually at Fanbyte Media. Danielle, where can people find you online?
I am on Twitter at Danielle R.I.
Merritt?
I'm on Twitter at Merritt Kidd.
And I'm on Twitter at NandaPrates_. That's NandaPrates_. You can also find us on Instagram at Fanbyte, on TikTok at Fanbyte, and of course on Fanbyte.com. You can watch all of our streams on twitch.tv/Fanbyte. Thank you so much to our amazing producer, Paul, Bad Boy Remix Tamayo. And see you all next week. But in the meantime, we'll love to see it.
Hi, Merritt Kay here for the Fanbyte Podcast Network. I'd like to tell you about Channel F.
a show where we talk about the games we're playing. Can I just say how much I would love for there to be a Hitman game that's just about making people experience embarrassing social faux pas, trying to like prank people and make it seem like they had farted or like tripped on something? That would be like very good. Dig up weird finds at thrift stores.
So the listing says Bung Doctor V64.
And take your questions about the best jokers. Flabars Martin asks, what's the best or coolest weapon ever given to a mech?
Gundam Gusion Rebake has a really good...
Give me that one more time.
Gundam Gusion Rebake.
Yo, I heard you. Gundam Gusion.
I personally guarantee, as the president of podcasts at Fanbyte, that listening to Channel F will make you a better, smarter, more powerful version of yourself. So go to fanbyte.com/podcasts or search for Channel F on your podcast app of choice today. Improvement not guaranteed. Listening to Channel F may cause gentrification.